Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday to you. And as always on this Easter Sunday, I want you to know that God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And so I thought it might be fun to start our time this way. As a pastor, it's funny, it never dawned on me that, I just thought I would just kind of like preach the gospel and like, I have to do weddings and funerals, right? I can marry you and I can bury you. And I still remember like the first funeral I did, it was actually up in Ontario, Canada. And I was riding in the lead car with the funeral director and sweet, sweet woman, our story time here is this, you need to know though, she was a little bit heavy set woman. Is that okay? You know, she was a little thick boned, if you will. And so, man, we were just talking, like I said, just a sweetheart. But there's always kind of a weight to funerals, you know? And so I was just trying to ease the tension a little bit. And I thought I would ask her, I was like, hey, what you do is very unique and it can be kind of weighty. What's the funniest thing that ever happened to you as a funeral director? She paused for a moment and then she says, I don't know if you think this is funny, but I was walking and I had to study my itinerary. And as I was reading my piece of paper, she said, I fell into a gravesite. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I said, that must have been so embarrassing for you. And she says, not nearly as embarrassing as them trying to get me out of the gravesite. And I think that's an appropriate starting point for this. Man, we got to get Jesus up out of the grave. Because if Jesus doesn't get up out of the grave, I don't know if you realize this, man, but the entire Christian faith, it rises and falls on this truth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ doesn't get out of the grave, here's what's true, man, is Jesus is a liar. You're still stuck in your sins. The Bible is a fairy tale. And listen, man, as Paul says, he says, amongst people, we're the most to be pitied, right? Because we believed a lie. But if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is true, here's what we can know for sure. Your sins have been forgiven. Man, Jesus is God. The word of God is true, and we can trust him with our life and even in death, right? Because he lives, we live. And so I'm going to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It'll be our text here this morning. And Paul's going to say that what we're reading today is the most important thing. And, you know, like sometimes I know there might be a lot of CEO Christians tuning in today. CEO is Christmas and Easter only. And if that's you, hey, I'm glad you're tuning in. But this is one of the classic Easter messages. Paul says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you stand, and by which you are being saved if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And so Paul says, this is the most important thing. And so he begins by saying this, I want to remind you of the gospel. That it's the gospel. It's the word, the gospel simply means good news. He says, I want to remind you of the good news of the death, burial, resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, because by it, we're saved. We stand and we are being saved. And so do you remember the gospel? Like, I don't know about you. As you can tell, man, I'm getting to be an old head here. And do you ever forget stuff? Like, have you ever gone into a room and then you forgot the reason why you came into that room? No, just me. I feel judged. Man, I've gone up and down flights of stairs and got to the top of the stairs and like, why did I come here? Ever open the fridge and wonder, what was I looking for again, right? Ever done that? Is that just me? How about people's names? Like, I don't know about you, like, I need to know a lot of names being a pastor, and I just stink at it. And so, man, I'll shake your hand and ask your name, and it just, like, bounces off me, man. I never even grasp it. I'm so bad at it that I actually have in my phone, I use little silly markers, like you'll be Ashley, who wears an ankle boot, okay? I might be Bob, has a big head, right? These little markers that'll help me remember people's names. And so, how about this? Have you ever been, like waiting for your turn to talk? It's like jump rope, or you're waiting when you can jump in because you have something brilliant to say, and then you get your moment, you're like, I can't remember what I was going to say. Or maybe even worse, you do start telling your story, and then you forget, why was I telling this story again? Hey, listen, man, if you're young, just know that's coming for you, okay? But Paul says we're to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what I remember, man. Do you know that Northwest Airlines Flight 255, it was in 1987 in my hometown of Detroit, and this flight was flying out of Detroit, Michigan, and just moments into the flight, something went horribly, horribly wrong. And the plane immediately started plummeting down, and it crashed into the I-94 overpass. It killed 155 of the 156 passengers. One passenger survived. And get this, it was a 4-year-old girl. Her name was Cecilia. When the rescuers found this 4-year-old girl, it seemed like such an impossibility. The only thing that they could think of is that as the plane was going down, her mom scooped Cecilia up in her loving arms, wrapped herself around her, and just by the sheer power of love, refused to let her go. And the mom absorbed the blast, and Cecilia lived. And isn't that the story of the gospel? That Jesus Christ, that he wraps his loving arms around you and around me. And on his cross, he absorbs the righteous wrath of God on our behalf. And then we're released to go free. Because he lives, man, we live. And so Paul says that through the gospel, we make our stand. And so here's what I need you to know, man. You're saved by the gospel, but we stand in the gospel. Do you know that it's not like as Christians we've all of a sudden figured it out and we're just morally better than all these different people? No, that's not it. Man, we're not standing in our own righteousness, but we continue to stand in the righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ through the gospel. And so Satan, I don't know if you know this, but the term Satan, it literally means accuser. And Satan will accuse you to God and God to you. And so, listen, I don't know if you've ever felt this before, but guilt and shame over sin and failure can be crushing. Case in point, Judas and Peter, both of them betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas, crushed under the weight of sin and the accuser of Satan the devil, what does he do? He goes and he hung himself. He took his own life. Peter, if you remember what happened to Peter, like Peter denied Jesus 3 times in his biggest moment of need. In fact, the 3rd time he denied Jesus, the Gospel of Luke reports that Jesus is being carted off in chains. And Peter, he cries out, I don't blankety blank know him. And he turns and he looks and he locks eyes with the Lord Jesus Christ across the courtyard. Like, I don't know how you recover from that. And it says, the rooster crowed and he ran away in shame and in deep sorrow. But as he's being accused by the devil, Peter doesn't take his own life, but rather he returns to the Lord. And I'm sure you remember in John 21 that as he swims up on the shore and it's like, man, that he sees the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus restores him 3 times. Man, just like Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And do you remember, man, what he says? He says, Lord, you know all things and you know that I love you. That particular scene in John 21, Jesus reenacted the first time he had met Peter. There's this miraculous catch of fish, and Peter is so in awe of Jesus, he runs, lays himself at Jesus' feet, and he says, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And so that memory, do you know that when Peter, he knew, man, I'm a sinful man. And yet Jesus doesn't deny that truth, but he says, yeah, I know you're sinful, but you're going to come follow me and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Here's why I tell you all that. Man, Peter was a sinner at the start and he still failed. And guess what? Jesus wasn't going to turn Peter in. He's like, I thought you were going to be better than this, Peter. Like Peter, Jesus knows what he's purchasing in his cross. He knew what he was purchasing in you and I. So he's not looking to trade us in because we've so disappointed him in our sin. If you've been tracking with us, you know that in the Burt house, I have a new son. His name is Bauer, my golden retriever. And we went and got this golden retriever puppy. And it was funny, when we went to the breeder, the breeder was saying, hey, she offers just a money back guarantee. If the dog's, you know, you're not satisfied with it or it's sick or something like that, you can always turn it back in. And she said, one guy turned in a dog that he had had from, that he got from her. He'd had the dog for 7 years. And I thought of that, what kind of dude, man, would give their dog back after 7 years? I'm like, what a jerk, right? And yet, do you think that Jesus is that kind of guy? That, man, after being with us for a while and he realizes, man, you're just so disappointing to me. You're such a failure. And he's just wanting to, he's wanting a do-over. He's wanting to the refund or to return. Man, Jesus knew what he was purchasing at the cross of Jesus Christ. And here's what the great thing. We don't have to worry about Jesus ever failing us, leaving us, or abandoning us. Do you know what's amazing? At the end of time, in Revelation 19, it says when Jesus cracks the sky open and he returns, do you know what he's referred to as? It's amazing. He's not referred to as the mighty and the merciful God or the loving and the just God, despite the fact he's both of those. He's referred to as the one who is faithful and true. Man, God is faithful and true. That despite the fact that we fail and we fall short, man, he is faithful and he has bound himself to you and I in the gospel, man. Remember the gospel. Paul, he goes on and he says, hold fast to the gospel by which you are being saved. Isn't that interesting? That man, the gospel, it both saves us and we're being saved. And so maybe I can illustrate this way. I'm not proud of this moment, but have you ever been grouchy? No, just me? Okay. Well, man, we have this thing. It's a real thing for pastors. Like, you know, you preach and pour out on Sunday, and then we have what's called Hangover Monday. Is that, man, when you get up that next morning and, man, it just feels like, man, the world, the devil, your flesh, social media, everything is just letting you know, hey, you stunk. You did a horrible job, right? And there's all that. But listen, man, we had a really good Sunday service, but for whatever reason, I woke up Monday morning and I was just grouchy. I was irritable or thin. And the good thing is I knew it. And so, man, I hadn't sinned against anybody yet, except for the cat, but that doesn't even count, okay? I hadn't sinned against anybody, so I knew, man, I had to really exercise restraint because I'm a little bit thin this morning, right? And sure enough, the first person I meet is my wife. How many know that's not going to go good? And she just casually asked me, hey, did you give the dog his medicine? And apparently, I snapped back and said something that wasn't kind, and because my wife immediately responded, hey, I was just asking you that. You didn't have to snap at me like that. Are you grouchy today or what, right? And I thought in my mind, I was like, oh, baby, if you knew what I was thinking and how much restraint I showed, the things that I didn't say, you would have been very proud of me. And so, listen, I've been a Christian for 45 years, and yet there's these moments where these kind of the ugly parts kind of can bubble up in my flesh. Have you ever had that? Man, I thought I would be holier and just like a little bit more put together after all this time. But do you know what? The good news is that we are being saved. The process is painful and much more slow than we would like. Ezekiel would say it this way in Ezekiel 36, that God is in the process of giving you a new heart. He's removing your hard heart of stone, and he's giving you a soft heart, a flesh, a heart like his. There was a young man, I think we have an image of him, his name is Conrad Ruland. He was a tight end for the New York Jets, and for those of you not familiar, I'm the New York Jets chaplain, and so we were just having a chapel service before one of the games, and Conrad was in at the chapel service, and as all the players left the room, Conrad stuck around, and he just wanted to get a little extra prayer, and I got to talk to this young man, get to know him a little bit, and then the crazy thing, I would never really see him or talk to him again. Fast forward 2 years, and he actually re-signed with a different team, the Baltimore Ravens, and come to find out that Conrad Ruland would have a brain aneurysm and would suddenly die a tragic death. And so with that, he was an organ donor, and there was another athlete, a Hall of Famer, Major League Baseball player by the name of Rod Carew, and Rod Carew was in desperate need of a heart transplant. And so they actually took Conrad Ruland's heart and they put it in the chest of Rod Carew. And here's what's so powerful. You can actually YouTube this thing is that Conrad Ruland's mom actually met Rod Carew and she listened to her son's beating heart in his chest. I don't know if you knew this, but each person's heartbeat is unique. All right. There's no two are exactly the same. And as his mom leaned in and listened to that heartbeat, she says, "It's him. It's him." And isn't that what happens with you and I? In the process of being saved, God is giving us a new heart that we slowly but surely over time, we start to love what he loves and hate what he hates. That as people start to look into your life, they're going to know this. It's him. It's him. It's him. On the inside of you, right? And so so Paul goes on in our text in 1 Corinthians 15. He says that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Here you go. You're a sinner. Happy Easter, right? And so, man, I do this every year. Is that, do you know that the Bible, like we're given the Ten Commandments from God, and a lot of times people use the commandments as a ladder to try and climb up to God, and that's not what it's designed for, is that it actually is, it's kind of like a diagnostic. It lets us know what's going on the inside of us. And so, real quickly, anyone ever lie before? If you didn't say yes to that, it's at least your second lie, okay? I'll speak to men here. Fellas, ever look at a woman lustfully? No? Me neither, right? Yeah, of course, you're busted again. Jesus says, man, if you looked at a woman lustfully, it's as if you've committed the sin of adultery. Ladies, I'm not going to let you off the hook. Ladies, did you ever have like your girlfriend get that thing that you wanted? She got it, and you're like, so you couldn't even be happy for her. Like she got the ring, the guy, the bag, whatever it might be, and you're like, ah, why did she get that? Right? That's called coveting. And so you can see, man, just I could get you with all 10 of them, and it's funny, not that funny. All right, that there's something broken on the inside of us. Man, we're not mistakers that need to do better. We're sinners in need of a savior. And so, and I can hear your inner man attorney going, "Hey, that's not true. That's not, I'm a good guy. I'm a good girl," right? And listen, I think you're awesome, but Jesus disagrees with you. Jesus would say this is that, man, in Mark chapter 10, he says, man, there's no one good but God. And so, goodness is a relative term. It's like being pretty or strong or smart. It depends who you're comparing them with. And so, man, when I'm hanging around with other pastors, guess what? I'm strong. But when I'm with the New York Jets, guess what? I'm extremely weak. It depends on who you're comparing to. And so when you and I are compared to the holiness of God, we are not good. We are not good. And so I get to travel with the New York Jets. It was, you know, a great thrill, and we played in London last year, and so I actually had to take a small Ziploc baggie filled with communion elements and little bits of grape juice for communion, right? And so I'm traveling with this bag, and so as I'm going through TSA, man, TSA pulls it out, and there's liquid in there, right? It's the grape juice for the communion, and he's like, "What's this?" And I'm like, "Well, it's communion," and he's like, "Well, sir, there's too much fluid. I'm going to have to dispose of this." And I'm like, "Hey, knock yourself out. It's the body and blood of God's one and only dear son. But knock yourself out. Throw it in the garbage if you want. I'm sure you'll be fine." And even the TSA guy didn't want to take a chance on that one. Never mind, right? And so, and yet I'm so surprised that so many people are taking a chance, risking their eternity on this dumb idea of the scales, of you're hoping that your good outweighs the bad. And there's a few things that are unbelievably problematic with that. Number one, it's nowhere to be found in the Bible. And number two, the Bible does say that our good works are like filthy rags before a holy God. We have nothing to put on the good side of the ledger. And so we need a Savior. And the great news of the gospel, Christ died for your sins. Some of you might be thinking, hey, man, God's a good God. Why can't he just forgive? Well, he does forgive. He can't just forgive. He is a good God, but he's also a holy God, and he's just. And so if God was to just forgive us, he would be an unjust God. And that would be a terrifying, terrifying idea that the God who sits above all things is unjust, is crooked. I'll illustrate this way. And this has kind of been fresh in the news at the time we're filming this. So there's a guy, David Allen Funston. There's an image of him coming up. And so this guy is a serial pedophile. He actually sexually abused they figure 5 to 8 young children that they know of, okay? They were between the ages of 3 and 10 years old. And so this guy was, he was convicted. He was sentenced to 3 consecutive terms of 25 years to life. But California had a new loophole in the law that it was, if you serve 20 years consecutively, you're eligible for early parole. And so this pedophile got out on parole. He got out early from prison. So he only served 27 years. And with that, man, the nation, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, man, it's one of the only times we all agreed, this is unjust. This guy can't be set free. I can read some of the articles. I mean, the LA Times says that there's a judge had to, previously described him as the monster parents fear most. Right? County Sheriff Jim Cooper called the parole decision dead wrong. He abused these children horrifically. Someone that does these types of things, they don't deserve a second chance. They went on and on and on. Why were people so outraged? Because sin must be fully and finally pay for. And if it's not, man, there's this feeling of this uprising of injustice that comes up on the inside of us, and rightfully so as image bearers of God. And for the record, they actually were able to charge him with another crime. And the moment he was set on parole, they rearrested him, and now he's gonna be retried again. And the world said, thank you, thank you. And therefore, so brings us back to you and to I. Man, that we are sinners, and we've sinned against an eternal God. And divine justice requires that we would receive an eternal punishment for that. And so I love this one, man. So do you realize, like the degree of the punishment depends on, man, the enormity of the person that you've sinned against. And so, man, you kick a chair, nothing's going to happen. You kick a person, you're probably going to get arrested. You kick a cop, you might get tased. All right. You kick the president, you get federal prison. You kick the Pope, you get purgatory. Not really. Okay. If you go home and you kick your dog, that's not nice. If you kick your cat, it's not even a sin, okay? Just so you know. but you can see this, man. We have sinned against an eternal God, and it demands an eternal punishment, hell. But with that, the gospel is good news. Man, Christ died for your sins, and you have a choice, a decision today that either Christ can pay for your sins on the cross, or you can say no thank you, and that you can pay for your sins eternally in hell. You get to decide. It goes on and it says that he was raised on the third day. Do you know that 3, it's not just some random number in the scriptures, it's the number of completion. That's why God is complete in himself. He's Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. That there's 3 patriarchs in your Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That into the New Testament, Jesus had his 3 closest disciples, Peter, James, and John. And so we even see that, man, that there's 3 musketeers, 3 amigos, man, there is whatever remember, what is it, Three Stooges. How could I forget the Stooges? And so three is the number of completion. And after 3 days, it was in the Jewish mind, they thought that when a person died, their spirit would hover over the dead body. It gave place for if there was ever resuscitation or something like that. But on the third day, when decay set in, man, the spirit would go away, never to return again. And so this is the Bible's way on the third day of saying, man, Jesus was dead, dead. He was dead, dead. And so here's what I want to do here is I'm going to put juxtaposition for you two men who had strong beliefs. Okay, let me give you, here's one. One is Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane. And so he believed that the use of general anesthesia, it was too dangerous for people with heart conditions and whatnot. So back in 1921, he was going to perform the first surgery with just local anesthetic, okay? Local anesthesia. And so he got the patient. His patient needed to have their appendix removed. And so while they were fully awake, he used a local anesthesia and he opened up the patient. He opened up the patient. He started clipping arteries so that the patient wouldn't bleed to death. And then he removed the appendix and then sutured up the incision. The patient was hospitalized for 2 days and then got out of the hospital. But Dr. Kane was able to keep close watch on his patient to see how the patient did because that patient was Dr. Kane himself. He operated on himself, man, right? But he did, and he was found to be true. Let me give you another guy. I think we have an image of him. Franz Reichert. He invented a parachute suit. He truly believed that he could fly in this parachute suit. And so back February 4th, 1912, in the dead of winter, he climbed up the Eiffel Tower. And then he proceeded to jump from the Eiffel Tower. Man, he laid his arms out like this, and very quickly and violently, he struck the frozen ground in Paris, France. He hit the ground so hard, it left a 6-inch indentation in the ground. He died instantly. I tell you, those two stories, man, two guys, what they believed was true. One guy lived and demonstrated his truth, and another guy, he died demonstrating it was no truth at all. And the reason why I say that is in the marketplace of ideas, man, everything that's out there, and amidst all the world religions that are out there, one stands apart. It's Christianity, Christ and his resurrection. All the other world religions, man, they're prophets and stuff. They are dead and in the grave. But one rose again to tell us he is the truth. He is the way and he is the life. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus' tomb, man, the stone was rolled away. That stone weighed between 1 and 2 tons. Why did he roll it away? Do you know in his resurrected body, he could walk through walls and doors and things like that? See, he didn't roll it away for himself so he could get out. He did it so we could see in the fact that he was dead 3 days in the grave and he rose again, all right? And so in the marketplace of ideas, who are you going to believe? Man, are you going to believe Buddha, Muhammad, or are you going to believe the one who said he was going to die, go into the grave, and on the third day rose again? And if you're asking me, Pastor, are you just saying Jesus is the only way to God? No, I'm not saying that. Jesus is saying it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life that no one comes to the Father but through me, right? And so, and then last but not least, it says this, that he appeared. And then Paul's going to list off a bunch of people that the resurrected Lord appeared to. And so here's the first one we read about. It says that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and the 12 disciples. And so here's why that's significant. I never knew what binge watching was until we got into COVID. And then, man, my family and we started binge watching Chicago PD. I don't know if you've seen this before, but man, they have Detective Hank Voight. And this dude, he was a little bit, man, not by the book, if you know what I'm saying. And so, man, if there'd be some kind of punks or some gangsters that they'd be like, hey, we're never going to talk to you. We're never going to speak. And then he would say, Voight would just very calmly, hey, could you please just leave the room? And then he would proceed to inflict pain on these gangsters until what? They spilled their guts, man, and just said everything. See, when pain is introduced into the equation, man, human beings very easily, will not die for a lie. And yet, Peter and the 12, before the resurrection, man, they abandoned Jesus. After they had seen him, what happened? They were willing to die. Why? Because they knew it was true. Man, and they endured some horrible deaths. Man, beheading, crucifixion. One of them was filleted alive, and all they had to do was just recant and say that Jesus is not God. And yet they couldn't do it. Why? Because they had seen him. They know it was true. And then we get James. James is the younger brother of Jesus when he was on the earth. And if you're not familiar with James's story, he wasn't a fan of his big brother Jesus. He thought Jesus was nuts, was crazy, and said as much. But after the resurrection, all of that changed. He became Jesus's greatest follower in Jerusalem. In fact, he would take the mantle from Peter and take over the Jerusalem church. For the record, the church in Jerusalem, I want no part of it, man. Romans are persecuting them. Jews are persecuting them. Man, it's a nightmare. In fact, James, the Jews took him up on top of the Temple Mount, and they said, recant that Jesus is Lord. He refused to. They threw him off the Temple Mount. As his old ancient body hit the ground, he didn't die. And so as they gathered around him, and as he's kind of choking in his own blood, they said, recant, recant. He refused to. And so one of the Jews took a club and just beat him to death until he died. Now, here's what I know. Man, by the way, happy Easter. Man, that his brother was either really dumb or truly believed that his brother Jesus was God because he had seen him resurrected. And then this one is my favorite, and we'll end with this, that there was 500 eyewitnesses. 500 eyewitnesses. And so you know this. Man, if the disciples are just making all this stuff up, if you're perpetrating a lie, the one thing you cannot have are eyewitnesses, because, man, your whole lie can be unraveled by an eyewitness. And so I'm not sure if you've seen the movie A Few Good Men. If you haven't, shame on you. Man, it's a little bit of an oldie, but it's a good one. And Tom Cruise, he plays Daniel Caffey. I don't know if you've paid attention to Tom Cruise movies. He's the same character in every movie, isn't he? He's just Tom Cruise playing a Top Gun pilot. He's just Tom Cruise playing an attorney, or Tom Cruise playing a secret agent. He's just kind of always the same guy. Well, he plays attorney Daniel Caffey. And Daniel Caffey's investigating the murder of Private First Class William Santiago. And things just aren't lining up to his untimely death. And so he realizes, man, Colonel Jessup is behind it all, and he ordered a code red. But to put the colonel on the witness stand, that Caffey was risking a court-martial. But finally, he gets the courage. He knows if he's going to close this case, he has to put Jessup on the stand. And so he says, I'm going to put him on the stand. And Jessup, very coolly and slyly, as he's on the stand, he just maneuvers and outmaneuvers Caffey at every turn. And as the interrogation is complete, it looks like Caffey has failed. Jessup gets up off the witness stand, but before he can, he tells him to sit back down. And he says, Your Honor, I want to call two eyewitnesses, Airman Cecil O'Malley and Airman Anthony Rodriguez, as a future witness. And the two eyewitnesses entered into the courtroom. Now Jessup, he sees the eyewitnesses are there. Man, his entire facade, this lie, could come unraveled by these two airmen. And so he reluctantly sits back down. And now you can tell he's starting to become unglued a little bit. And what does Caffey do? He decides, man, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for it. And what does he do? He says, Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red? You don't have to answer that question, says the judge. He says, I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled to it. He says, you want answers? I want the truth. And there it is. You can't handle the truth. And then Jessup goes off into this extensive diatribe. And then we get to the very end where he says, did you order the code red? I did the job. Did you order the cold red? And what does Jessup, he explodes. You blew blankety bright, I did, right? And so what we see, it was just these two eyewitnesses, and everything came unraveled. Man, in the scriptures, we see that there was 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrected Christ. Man, can you handle the truth? Like, what are you going to do with the truth that Jesus said he was going to go to the cross and die and on the third day get up again? And there are 500 eyewitnesses to that truth. Jesus died and he rose again. Can you handle the truth? Listen, do you know the research tells us that you and I, we make approximately 35,000 decisions per day. Just today, you're gonna make 200 decisions around what you're gonna eat. But with that, there's only one decision that stands out above them all. What are you gonna do with Jesus Christ? You have a choice here. There's only two options. There isn't a third. That you can bow your knee to him and declare him as your Savior and your Lord. Or you can just say, no thank you, and move on with your life. But with that, when you look back through time and eternity, what would you do to come back to this very moment and have the opportunity to bow your knee to Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time we could spend in your word. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you died for our sins and you rose again. Lord, and you extend out your hand to us, Lord, saying, come to me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Listen, if you would like to know the Lord Jesus Christ on this Easter morning, it's as simple as ABC. A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. B, believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And C, confess with your mouth Jesus as Savior and Lord, and the promises that his Spirit will come into your heart and you will fully, finally, and forever be his. And so, Lord, thank you for this time. We love you. In your name, amen.
The Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.